Okay, Rabbi said today's daf is daf Nun Gimel. We're going to start from the second line from the top of the Yomid, where the Gemara begins, V'chassidim v'anshei ma'aseh. Now, what is this referring to? Back in the Mishnah on daf Nun Aleph, starting on the final line of Nun Aleph, Amid Aleph, we were talking about the Simchas Beis HaShe'eva, and the Mishnah tells us that Chassidim v'anshei ma'aseh hoyu merakten b'fneihem the avukos, top of Nun Aleph Amid Beis, v'avukos shel or shebiyadeim. As you'll recall, Rashi told us that these Chassidim v'anshei ma'aseh were jugglers and would go and juggle numerous things at one time. V'oyimrim l'fneihem, and they would go and say publicly, divrei shirois v'sushvachois, beautiful words of thanks to Hashem. And the Gemara is going to now tell us in more detail what those divrei shirois v'sushvachois were. Tanur Rabbanan, second line, Nun Gimel Amid Alev Zokta Braisa. Yesh men oyimrim, asher yaldu seini shloim baisha ezik nosenu. Eilu chassidim v'anshei ma'aseh. V'yesh men oyimrim, asher ezik nosenu, shekipres yaldu seinu, eilu bali tshuva. What is this all about? The Braisa tells us what the words of shirois v'sishbachis were. Those that were chassidim v'anshei ma'aseh, which means that they were good, erlich hafayin etayre yidin, already when they were young. Now when they are older, because we're talking about Zekanim speaking now, they're saying, Ashi Yalduseinu, how meritorious, how praiseworthy was it that Yalduseinu, that what our actions were when we were young did not bring shame on us now that we are old. In other words, it's wonderful to see a nice 80-year-old Erlich Yidin Bismedish going with or without a cane and davening slowly and davening beautifully, etc. The question is, what did he do 60 years before when he was 20 years old? Was he running around like a go-getter, or did he daven the exact same way with the same tmimus and with the same Erlichkeit in those years? And so therefore these Chassidim v'anshei ma'aseh are saying, Ashi al d'seinu, Baruch Hashem, when we were younger, we didn't put to shame our older years today, because then too we acted the way we were supposed to. But others say that unfortunately when we were younger we did not act the way we should, and therefore Ashizik Maseinu, Baruch Hashem, that at least now in our older age our masim toivim today, our tshuva, our tfilois, etc., shekipras yalduseinu, that acts as a kapara, as an atonement for some of the things that we did when we were young. And these are the bali tshuva. Elu bi elu oimrim. Both of them would say together, Ashrei Misha Leichata, most praiseworthy is the person who didn't do a chait, Umisha Chata. Whoever did sin, Yashav Yimchal, he should do tshuva, the Yimchaloy and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be moichel him for his aveiros. Tani, Omru Ola Bahlil Azokin, Kishahoye Samech Besimchas Beis HaShe'eva, when he was Besimcha at the Simchas Beis HaShe'eva, Omar Kain, he said the following, Imanikan, Hakol kan. If I am here, everybody's here. Demeini kan. If I'm not here, mikan. Then who is here? So what does this mean? Of course, on the very simple shot level, sounds a little bit arrogant. Hilazokin is saying, if I'm here, everybody's here. However, Rashi says that's not the pshat. Rather, Hilazokin is now singing on behalf of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, acting as a Kodesh Baruch Hu's mouthpiece, and he's saying, as if Kavi Yochel Rabbi Yisrael is saying, "Imanikan, if I am here," says the Kodesh Baruch Hu, "the Shechina is here. Hakol kan, then the masses will be here too. As long as I am here in the Beis Hamikdash, there'll be a crowd. The Manikan, if one day I decide to turn off the lights and the Shechina is going to leave the Beis Hamikdash, Mikan, there'll be nobody left. In other words, as long as the Beis Hamikdash is standing, because you'll continue to do mitzvahs, I'm here, you're here, everything will be great." But if you Jews do not do what you're supposed to do, and if therefore I decide to move away, then unfortunately the whole Beis Hamikdash will be destroyed. There won't be any Shechina left. There won't be any Jews left to go and celebrate the Simchat Beis HaShe'eva or to bring karbanos. That's how Rashi learns. Tosis learns that Hillel is speaking on behalf of Klal Yisrael, and what Hillel is saying Emanikan, if the Yidden are here, Hakulkan, then Baruch Hashem, there are those that will speak the praises of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. However, Zemeinikan, if Klal Yisrael doesn't come, Mikan, who's going to come? You think the Arabs are going to come, the Christians are going to come? If we're here to be Meshabech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then the Baruch Hu has his Bonim Lamokim that are praising him. But if we're not here, who's going to go praise Hashem? Who are you, Oymer Cain? He would say the following, back to the Gemara. Lamokim Shani Oyev Shom Raglai Melichas Oisi. The place where I really want to go to, then automatically my legs are going to go and take me in that direction. What does the Gemara say in other places? That Mokim Sha'ad Breitz Leilach Melichan Oisai. Place where a person wants to go, automatically Minashamayim, he's going to have a special sixth sense, or a siyata d'shmai, to go in that path. So where he really wants to go, somehow he's going to go there. This is going again back on Hill is speaking on behalf of the Rabbi Nishlam Kaviyachol, and Kadosh Baruch Hu saying, "Ma'ata Tovi El Beisi, if you Yidden come to my Beis Hamikdash to be Oyle Regel, to bring Karbonois, Ani Ovi El Beisecha, then I'm going to come into your homes as well, and I'm going to bring a Bracha into your homes. Ma'ata Tovi El Beisi, however, if Yidden are not going to be Oyle Regel, they're not going to come to the Beis Hamikdash, they're not going to bring Karbonois, Ani Ovi El Beisecha, I'm not going to bring a Bracha into your home either." Should never, like it says in the pasuk, asker eshemi, ovi elachu ve'rachticha. Now the word asher asker eshemi doesn't mean that the Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to go and say his own name, but rather b'chol mokim, in every place, asher asker eshemi, that I will permit, I will authorize the Jews to go and say my name. That is in the Beis Hamikdash. Ovi elachu ve'rachticha. When you say Hashem's name, then I'm going to come and I'm going to come and bench you. Afhu, Hillel, Ro'a Gilgoyles Acha Shetzofa Pnei Hamoyim. This is not such a happy event, but of course the Gemara is trying to teach us a moral, lesson over here. He saw Al Gilgoyles. Gilgoyles means a skull, Shetzofa, that was floating on the river, on the water. Omar Lossi, he said the following, Al Di Atfis Atfuch, Umeitifech Yutufun. What he's basically saying is that what comes around, or goes around, comes around.
Chad gadya.
Okay, good. So what does that mean? Al da'atfis atfucha. Because you, the person whose skull is floating on the water, because you went and killed others and caused their skulls to float, that's why atfucha, Hashem was mishalem mida keneged mida, that now your skull is floating on the water. Umeitifeich, and those that caused your skull to go and float, yutufun, their skulls eventually will also float. In other words, we're talking about a band of rotzchem over here, of murderers, and therefore each day one of them murdered the other guy, or maybe not every day, every week, every month, whatever. If you're a reitzach and you cause chas v'shalom somebody else's murder, then of course Hashem has already repaid you. Somebody now murdered you, and that's why now your skull is floating. And guess what? The murderers that murdered you, eventually somebody will murder them as well. So it's a galgal hachozer. What one does, what one brings to this world, one gets back. It's all a sense of Kadosh Baruch Hu, Mishal Amida Keneged Mida. Omer B'Yochanan. We had the name of Hillel before, that wherever a person wants to go, Raglai Malichas Oisi, and Rabbi Yochanan continues the same thought. Omer B'Yochanan Ragloi Debar Inish, the legs of a person, the feet of a person, Ein and Arvin Bey, they are his guarantors. La'asar D'midboi Tam L'midboi, to the place that he is being summoned, Tamon Moivilen Yosei. His legs will eventually bring him to that place. And what is that referring to? So Gemara says that we're talking specifically about Chas V'Shalom when the person is going to pass away. And as we'll see in the next Shtikl Gemara, that it's preordained min haShemayim upstairs, not only the time of a person's passing, but also the location of a person's passing. And if Hashem said that the person's going to pass away in Los Angeles, there's no way he's going to pass away in New York. Somehow, his legs are going to take him to Los Angeles, and that's where he's going to pass away. So Gemara tells the story. Hano tarti kushoi. On the surface, this means that there were two black people. However, Rashi says that the word kushi is used here, the lashon sagi nahar, and it really is covering up the fact that they were very handsome people. Rashi in the middle of the Amud, Trei Kushoi al Shem Shahoyu Yofim Karlohachi, because they were so handsome, so therefore we give them kind of a euphemistic term that they looked black. But you have the same thing by Tzipoira Eishes Moshe, it also says the same type of thing Rashi says in Chumash. Anyway, so what does he tell us about it? Tati Kushoi have the Kaimi Kami Shloime. They were people that worked in Shloime Melech's court. As we'll see in a moment, they were Sofrim, they were scribes. Their names were Elichoyref Ve'achia, B'nei Shisha, Sofrim the Shloime Haba. They were the Sofrim of Shloime Melech. Yoim Echad, one day, Chazir Malach Amavis. Shloime Melech met the Malach Amavis one day, and he saw the Havika Otziv, that the Malach Amavis was upset. Amalei Amayitzivs, why are you upset? What's going on? Omlais, he said, the Kaboy Minoi Hani Tartikushoi, because upstairs in heaven they've already asked that I bring in these two Kushoi, in other words, that their time has come to pass away. The Asvihocha that are sitting here in your court, and unfortunately they're not coming up. He's upset. Now it's not clear from this dialogue why the Malach HaMavis was upset. He, Shloime HaMelech, as we'll see in the Gemara in the next line or two, apparently thought that the Malach HaMavis was upset because he didn't want to take these two very distinguished, handsome-looking Sofrim that worked in Shloime's court, and rather wanted to leave them here. And therefore, Shloime HaMelech came up with a brilliant idea. I'm going to send them to Luz. As we'll see in the Gemara in another moment, Luz was a place where there was a special suspension moratorium, an exempt zone from Chas V'Shalom, from passing away. So anybody who was in Luz, that place, he was not a loser, he was a winner by being in Luz, that he would not pass away. So Shlomo HaMelech figured, since the Malach HaMavis is upset about having to take these two people away, I got a great idea. I'm going to send them with a supersonic jet to Luz. They'll be in Luz, and then nothing will happen to them. And the Malach HaMavis will be happy, and I'll be happy. Anyway, Masrinu la-Se'irim. So he handed over these two Kushim, these two Sofrim, to the Se'irim. Rashi says the Se'irim is just another name for the Shindalids, the evil demons, because we know that Shlomo HaMelech was in charge and the king of everyone. Rashi says, Malach al Yoinim Vial Hatachtoinim. So even he was in charge of the evil spirits and the evil demons, the Shindalids, and he said, Shindalids, you're the only guys that can get them there, get them there, 1, 2, 3, and Shadrinu, and he sent them Lemachoizit Lois, to the region of Luz. Kimatl Machoizit Luz, when they got to the region, even before they entered through the gates, Shechivu, they passed away before they entered into Luz. Shlomo HaMelech was very brokenhearted because he thought that he was saving them, and in fact what happened was it's the other way around, that Nebuch they passed away. Is Lamochan the next day, Chazal Malach HaMavis Davika Badach. He saw the Malach HaMavis was Freilach, he was happy. Amalei, my B'dichas, what are you so happy about? I thought you didn't want to take them away. Amalei, no, you didn't understand. The place that they were predetermined, preordained to go and pass away, you sent them there. In other words, it was written on their schedules. Not only they're supposed to pass away on whatever date, but also the location was supposed to be the Sha'arei Luz, the gates outside Luz, and that's where you sent them. Ah, you did a great job. So of course Shlomo HaMelech thought that the Malach HaMavis was on his side. We're trying to save these two fellows, but quite to the contrary, the reason why the Malach HaMavis was upset, because he couldn't get them to the Shari Luz, he couldn't take them away. So therefore, this worked out very well for him that Shlomo HaMelech sent him to the Shari Luz. Yad Pasuk Shlomo. Based on this story, Shlomo HaMelech said, the Omar, Ragloi the Bar Inish, Inan Arvin Bey. The legs of a person, they are the guarantors of that person. That place where the person is being summoned, that's the place that he will land up, like we just saw now from our story. And eventually Hashem took them away, the Malach HaMavis took them away to the other world. Tanya. Shteyt nebraisa amru lo rab shimon ben gamaliel. Kisho yisameach simcha space sheiva. When he was really into the simcha, hayenoitel shmoina avuke shalor. 8 torches of fire, vezoirik achas venoitel achas. He was a juggler, and he was able to juggle 8 avukei shalor. Can you imagine? And they didn't touch one another. When he bowed down, he prostrated. Noyet shnei gudla baretz. He would not stand on his head or stand on his hand, but he would stand on his 2 thumbs. V'shoicha, and he would bend over. The noyshik es haritzpa, and he would kiss the floor. The zoykev, and he would stand himself right side up again. This is not a thing that most people can do, because this is you have to be extremely acrobatic to be doing this. The zuikidin, this is what is known throughout Shas when he talks about prostrating through Kida, that's what it means. And the Gemara tells us, Levi achve Kida kamei de Rebbe. Levi tried this out in front of Rebbe, the Itla, and unfortunately, Levi did not do a good job, and as a result, he became a chiger, he became lame, in Yiddish, a hinkadiker. What was the problem? So if you look at 6-7 lines before the wide lines in the Rashi, all the way down below, Itla nasa chiger, he became lame, lefishik shizoykit gufa me'elov ve'nanishan al yodav. When the person now tries to stand on top of his, no, upside down, and he's not able to rely and support himself with his hands, v'choska, and the reason is because he's supporting himself with his thumbs as opposed to his hands, lidchoyv gufa lamala, to be able to straighten up his body upwards, nimtza kol to be able to make his body stand erect when he's standing upside down, since he doesn't have the benefit of standing on his hands, what's happening is he has to go and exert much more pressure on his waist, on his legs, on his loins, but unfortunately he didn't have enough power there, I guess, in his loins, and unfortunately as a result, probably he had a hip fracture or something like that, and from that point on he always limped, unfortunately. Gemara tells us, "V'hagar malay." Is this what caused Levi to become lame, to limp? A person should never speak in a negative way, chas v'shalom, towards the Rebbeinu Shlomo. Shari Adam Gadol yitiach dvarim klapi malah. Levi, the great Adam Gadol, he unfortunately spoke poorly to Itla, and he became lame. Umanu, who is that? That was Levi. And the Gemara doesn't tell us what the story was, but Rashi tells us that this is the famous Gemara in the Sechtes Tanis. But the Gemara in Tanis, thank you. But the Gemara tells us in Tanis that if Chas V'Sholem, if it has not been a rain for a long time, there's a drought, there's a famine, that you're goyzer Tanis. And the Gemara over there has a couple of blot, a couple of dafim, going through in each generation, in each community, how different Tanoim and Amiroim were goyzer Tanis. And depending on the merits or lack thereof of the call, either it started raining or it didn't start raining. Anyway, so Levi in his community, he made a tanis, and unfortunately, nothing happened. So he wanted to be Ma'ir Rachman by Kodesh Baruch Hu and by Klal Yisrael, and he said words that afterwards he regretted. Rashi says on the first wide line, he says to Kodesh Baruch Hu, Alisa, v'yeshavta l'chob ha'maroim, you've sat yourself upstairs, Kodesh Baruch Hu Kaviyachal, upstairs in Shemayim, v'yata mashkiach al-benach, and you're not looking at your Yiddish kingdom. We're suffering, we're starving, we are thirsty, we have no water, we have no food, it's terrible. Anyway, that obviously is very strong language to say, Kodesh Baruch Hu, you don't care about your kids. And because of that, unfortunately, itla. So Gemara is saying, so make up your mind. Why did he become lame? Was it because he spoke poorly, he tiach dvarim klapi mala? Or was the reason because of the kiddah that he did? Gemara tells us, haba hagar malay. Both were contributing factors. In other words, the reason why he was being punished, that he became lame, was because of the fact that he spoke poorly. When did this occur? Kodesh Baruch Hu made it occur at a time when he was in ashtikel and a mokum sakana, that he was trying to do this kida upside down. So, Havah Garmalei, Kodesh Baruch Hu caused one to happen at the same time.
What did he say?
He said, Kadosh Baruch Hu, you've gone all the way up to Shemayim, you sit there on your royal throne, the I'atam Mashgiach al Banecha, and you're no longer taking charge and worried about your children down below. Your children are starving, your children are unfortunately thirsty, and you're not helping them, you're not looking after them, and that's what's happening. So that's obviously speaking in very negative terms, and unfortunately, ikva.
It's almost blasphemy.
It's almost blasphemy. It says here metail usually means to go for a walk like a tiyul. There's another here's a metalel, which presumably means again he did a juggling act in front of Rabbi. The tamni sakini, eight sakinim, eight knives. Can you imagine throwing up eight knives is a juggling, and chas v'shalom, nobody should get hurt.
This is all after Churban Bayis, though, right? Because Rebbe is much later, so this is they're still having simchas v'seder shoeva. And Shimon Gamliel, Rebbe's father, is also he's doing you know the torches. This is all after Churban Bayis.
Shimon Gamliel was mismech simchas v'seder shoeva. I don't know if that happened a real simchas shoeva or a subsequent simchas shoeva. Normally, simchas shoeva means in the Beis Hamikdash itself. And you know better than I that there were multiple Shimon Gamliels. Maybe this was the first
the one. The earlier one
that was Silk Beit Hashem. Now the reason why Levi was doing these juggling acts in front of Rebbe, we're no longer talking about Simchas Beit Hashem here, Rashi says because Rebbe, who was the Nasi, was Doeg Tomid Betzaras Yisrael. If you look at the second line of the Rashi, Kamei the Rebbe, the base in the middle of the second wide line down below, the Beisai, in his own home. In other words, he went in front of Rebbe in Rebbe's house. Shein Nasi, he was the Nasi. Umechabden Oisai, the Samchoi, and they umechabed him to go and try to bring up the spirits of Rebbe. Sheyadoy Tomid, he was constantly never upset about Torah Israel, the Torah that even were going through. Ubecholyoy, as well as he had never his own personal sicknesses and illnesses that he had to worry about. So Rebbe was usually quite despondent and depressed. And Levi was hoping through this juggling act to go and bring a smile on his face. Getting back to the Gemara, Shmuel Kami.
Was most of these juggling activities in the Beis Hamikdash, or were they when they were doing the smile from the Meshaloach?
I'm assuming that this took place during the night in the Beis Hamikdash in the Azara. Because when they went to the to bring it, the only thing that the Gemara tells us was that there was a procession and that they were doing the tkiyas truas tkiyas, but it doesn't say anything about any of these juggling acts. So I'm assuming this took place throughout the night from what we'll see mentioned shortly, that it was quite a busy night. Anyway, so Levi would go and juggle the eight sakinim, the eight knives. Shmuel kami shover malka. Shmuel in front of shover a melech. Rashi says he was a melech poras, so yeah, he was a Persian king. We have shover a melech mentioned a number of times in Shas. The Shmuel would also do a juggling act. Bitamnaya mazgi chamra. With eight glasses of wine. And he would throw them up and down, and presumably they did not spill. Abaye kami deraba bitamanya bei. He would do a juggling act with eight eggs. The Amrila Barbabe, some said that was eight, but only four eggs. But either way, it was quite an extraordinary act and feat to be able to go and throw all of these eggs up and down and Baruch Hashem not get any egg over his face. Tanya.
Shmuel was a doctor, right?
Shmuel was a doctor.
And he also knew the heavens from the Mechuzah.
Exactly.
Shvili Naradoi. Shvili Naradoi.
Shvili Zerakia, Shvili Naradoi. Exactly. Yeah. He was obviously a very, very talented individual.
He was tall, too. He was tall.
Tanya, Rav Shua ben Chananya. We were up full days. It was busy, busy, busy. We didn't see any sleep. So Rashi points out, Rav Shua ben Chananya was a Levi, and he was, depending on the girsa, either he was from the Mishorim, he was one of the singers, or he was one of the Shuarim, one of those that was constantly busy opening and locking the gates in the morning and at night. Anyway, so he was a Levi. The first hour in the morning, first thing we took, Tomei Shoshach. Misham, as soon as Tomei Shoshach was done, we went litfilah, we went to Daven Shachas. Misham, when we were done with davening, we went back to the Karim Musaf. when we finish the carbon was Misham le Tfilas and Musaf, and then we daven Musaf. Misham le Beis HaMedrash. After that, we went to go and learn. Misham from Delachi Lishtia. After all, it's Yontif, it's Chol HaMoed, and now it's time to go and eat something. Misham le Tfilas and Mincha, and then we went back for a Mincha. Misham le Tomash Ben HaBayim. Then we brought the Tomash HaBayim at the end of the day. Mikan the Eilach, and after Tomash Ben HaBayim, then le Simcha Meshishayim, and then we spent the whole night until the next morning, until they brought the water and they did Tamisho Shachar, and this kept us busy for the whole Yantif.
What this has to do with the Tamisho Shachar Ben Arboin? Only Koyhanim were allowed to in the area. I mean, what this has to do with
the Levium sang every day twice.
Yes.
One in the morning at the Tamash Shul Shachar, and one at the Tamash Shul Ben Arboy.
Yes.
Since he was a singer, according to the Gears, that he was from the Meshorim, he had to be there at the time of the singing.
And he was a Levi.
He was a Levi. Rashi said, Beferi, she was a Grois a Levi, Nishtam a Levi, a Shtark a Levi, Ben a Levi. Fourth wide line of Rashi. He was playing instruments too. He didn't have to be, because you could either be Avodim, or you could be Yisrael Yichosim, or you could be Levi. Remember, we had a three-way Machlekes. But at least he was a singer, so he was there. And maybe played an instrument too. Anyway, he was busy Yom Velayla. It sounds like for the entire 7-8 days of Yontif, he was busy Simcha Mishaeva every day. If a person makes an oath, a shvua, that I am not going to go and sleep for the next 3 days,
impossible.
You give him Malkus immediately and you tell him, go to sleep. Why does he get Malkus immediately? It says Rashi, because this is a shvua shav. Why is it Shavuah Shav? Or Shavuah Sheker? It is a Shavuah that everybody realizes is impossible. Like Rashi gives an example. If a person sees an Omud Shel Evan, a pillar made out of stone, and he swears that this is made out of gold, everybody realizes that he is swearing falsely, and you give him immediately Malkus. Here too, it's impossible to stay up for 3 days straight and 3 days night, 3 days and three nights straight without going to sleep. And so therefore, we give Malkus immediately. We don't wait for the 3 days. So Ibazai, he's saying that throughout the whole Yom Tov, we didn't see Shina Beinenu. It's impossible. We never had the proper taste of sleep. In other words, we were never able to go to bed and close our eyes and go to sleep, because throughout the night we were standing there, we were cheering, and we were juggling, and we were busy. So we were busy to come to that. And eventually we would doze off, but since the Beis HaMikdash was so packed, we didn't have to worry about falling down. We fell asleep dozing on the shoulder of the person next to us. So everybody was kind of in formation, one shoulder, one head on top of his shoulder, next shoulder, next shoulder. And then eventually, a couple hours later, they all woke up and they continued the festivities. Anyway, back to our Mishnah. Chamesh Esri Malis, there were 15 steps in the Beis HaMikdash, and those led from the Ezes Noshim to Ezes Yisrael, the Yisrael to Noshim, depending in which direction you're going. And we spoke about that they went down from the Ezes Yisrael, down the 15 steps to the Ezes Noshim, and from there, further on to the Meshiloyach, to draw the water and to bring it. So the Gemara goes off a little bit on a tangent about these 15 Ma'alois in the Beis HaMikdash. Omar Lei Rav Chizla Humid Rabbanan, Tam the Kamesader Agadat HaKamei. Rav Chizda had one of his Talmidim, one of the Rabbanan, that would always be Mesader all the Agadatois. And Omalein, he asked him, Shmi Lecha Hani Chamesh Esri Malos Kineged Mi Omen David. As we know, at the end of Tehillim, we have the 15 Shira Malos. Why did he go and be Mesakin these 15 Kapitlech all called Shira Malos? Omalein, Hachim Rabbi Yochanan. Oh, Rabbi Yochanan said, Bishosh Shekora David Shitin, when David the Melech went and carved out the Shitin, that cavity down below the Mizbeach, to accept all the Nisach HaMayim and Nisach HaYayim. So I know that all of you are thinking, David HaMelech went and carved out the Shitin. Weren't they there already from Sheshes and May Bereshes? So you remember already earlier on in the Gemara, we already had the Machlekes, and Rashi reminds us of both of those Mandiyamrim. So if you look at Rashi, three lines from the bottom of the Amid, Bishar Shekara David Shitin, V'lo Yisvir Lei Shemi Sheshes May Bereshes Nivru. Either he doesn't agree with that Mandiyamrim, and he feels that this was man-made and not made by Hashem at the time of Sheshes May Bereshes. The Yisvir Lei, even if he does hold Sheshes May Bereshes, Shem and Nismalu offer Oitzroi Rois V'Tzorach L'Chroisa. Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu Taka dug it out from the beginning of time, but by the time the David HaMelech was handing over the blueprints and getting ready for the Beis HaMikdash and handing the blueprints to Shlomo HaMelech, by that time, unfortunately, these deep shittim got stuffed up with offer, with dirt, or with stones, or whatever, and therefore someone needed to go and dig it all out. So David HaMelech said, okay, now it's time to do the digging. So either way, they're digging it all out. Guess what happened when David HaMelech was digging? Doesn't necessarily mean David HaMelech himself, it could be David HaMelech and his Misharsim, whatever. But as they were digging out the Shittim, Kafa Tehaima, the subterranean waters all floated above. Ubayla Mishtafa Alman, they wanted to go and flood the entire world. In other words, the digging went very, very deep, and the very deep subterranean waters that until now were in check, they all started coming up, and there was a huge flood. Amar David Chamesh Esri Malas, he said these 15 Shir Malas of Tilim, and they went down 15 Malas all the way down. So Kray Timura, Ihochi, if that's Taka the Pshat, Chamesh Esri Malas, Yardas Neboile, we shouldn't say Shir Malas, we should say Shir Hayardais, or Shir Hamoiridais. In other words, a lotion of going down, and a lotion of coming up. Amalei, so now when this either the Tana, the Ha'umid Rabbanan, or Rav Chisda, Hoyugat Karatan, you know, now that you reminded me of this, ah, Hachi and Matak, the last Rashi says, Amalei Rav Chisda the Diday, so Rav Chisda said either to himself or to this Tana, to this Ha'umid Rabbanan, since you started telling me about this story, you know what? I remember, in fact, this is the way I learned it many, many years ago, slightly differently than you just repeated in the name of Rabbi Yechonon. What did I learn? This part is exactly the same. He was digging out, and the world started getting flooded. Is there anyone here in the audience that can go and tell me, is it permissible to go and write the name of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, a Chaspa, on a shard, which we're going to throw deep into the water? Now, the reason why David HaMelech didn't want to paskin himself, says the last Rashi, David lo hayo moira halach lefnei rabbi achi toifel, v'oisham achi toifel, this Rebbe was there, he said, the Rebbe's do, I'm not going to go and paskin any shailas. What are we going to do now? I want to throw the chaspa down, I want to go and write Hashem's name on it. Presumably. And the Gemara tells us, and I'm going to let it settle all the way down. I'm going to go and throw it into the deep waters, and it's going to go down to Tohim. And then hopefully that will cause the waters to stop flooding and to recede. Meaning that David HaMelech said that if I'm going to write it on a piece of wood, it's going to float, and presumably metal might also float, but I know for sure that I'm going to put it down on a piece of shard of Kli Cheres, that will certainly sink to the bottom. Hopefully, when it gets to the bottom, it's going to find the hole from which these waters are flooding and coming up, and by putting the Hashem's name on it, hopefully it will become an effective stopper to stop the waters from coming up and flooding. Now that's what the Gemara says, and that's how Rashi explains, but then Rashi adds, based on an agoda of Sefer Shmuel, an additional knetch, additional wrinkle. If you look at the top, Rashi, achaspa, nesha cheres solel v'yerdig, because typically earthenware is going to settle down, going to nicely go down the water, paint the top and it won't float.
The word solel.
Solel v'yerdig means that it's going to...
I know.
It's another form of yerdig. It's also that it will nicely descend the yard and go down.
So it usually means, doesn't it, that it's the water is clear?
It's crystal clear that it's going to go down. Then it's up, and it's not going to go and float. The Kadeshi Yeyud, the Yanuach al Hanekev, so it's going to hopefully find that Nekev, that hole down below, and it's going to stop up the Nekev. But by God, the Sefer Shmuel, Mefurash, Shemitzoi David al Bnei Nekev, Hatahoyim, that the Medrash Shmuel over there, a God of Sefer Shmuel, that David HaMelech initially saw this Kli Cheres. It's not that we're taking out now a brand new piece of earthenware, but he discovered this earthenware of Bnei HaNekev. Apparently he had removed it, or whoever was cutting out the Shittin, was digging out the Shittin, removed it, and then and now it started pouring out, and it started flooding. therefore he wanted to put it back. He wasn't going to go and dive all the way down. Obviously it would be a sakana. We're talking about very, very, very deep. So says the Gemara, that's why he wanted to write Hashem's name on that neck, on that cheres, the cheres that was there from before. We're not talking about a brand new cheres. The cheres that was there already from Sheshet Mei Bereishis, he wanted to reinstall it, reinstate it, put it back and plug up the hole. And he figured the best way would be is to go write Hashem's name on it. It would hopefully then find the hole and stop it. Anyway, so he asked, is anybody there that's willing to go and be matir writing Hashem's name and then throwing it into the water? Like in the Gomel, meaning nobody was willing to open his mouth and say anything. Omer David, called the Yodel, the name of the Einay Omer, if there is somebody here in the audience that is able to say, and he does not say, Yechonik begroini chas v'sholem, he should suffocate. That's Achitoyfel that we had in the Rashi in the Omer Aleph, who is the Rebbe of David HaMelech. The famous Kal V'Chomer, Malas Yisholem Ben Yishli Yishtoy, Amra Toiro Shemish Nechto B'Kedusha, Yimocha Al HaMoyim. When we have Chas V'Sholem HaMais of a Soita, and we have to decide, is the Soita really a sinner, or is she really a wonderful young lady? How are we able to make that final determination? We go and take Hashem's name, we write it on a piece of cloth, we take the cloth and we put it into the waters. Unfortunately, Hashem's name will then become obliterated, erased, exactly as a result of the water, and then we give it to the woman to drink, and then when she drinks, then we'll find out what really happened behind closed doors. Now, what's the purpose of giving this water, to writing Hashem's name and putting it in and having her drink it? Because hopefully it will prove her innocence, not that Chas V'Sholem she's guilty. And by proving her innocence, it's going to bring Sholem Bayis between the husband and wife. So Ma Lazi Sholem Ben Yishlisha, to make Sholem Bayis between the husband that Nebuch is suspecting his wife of nefarious affairs. And she says she denies it. So now to be able to reinstate tranquility in the marital relationship, I'm willing to have my name erased. The whole world is going to get flooded. Allah has come that you're allowed to. And Omalei therefore said, Shari, Simutu. Guess what they did? Cost of Shem Chasvi to Taka wrote Hashem's name on this piece of cheres. Vishal Litoim, and they threw it in. The Nachas Tehoima, and the waters went down, they receded. Shitzer Alfe Gamidi, 16,000 Amis down below. Kichozi the Nachas Tuva, when David HaMelech saw that they went so far down, Omar, he said, Nishgut, Kamad Midli Tvei Mirtav Alma. Obviously, the ground up above needs moisture, needs nourishment, otherwise nothing will grow. If the closest waters are all the way down 16,000 amis, toidnish. So Omer, therefore he said, Chamesh Esrei Malois, to be Mala the water, the Aske, and in fact every Shir Malis, and he said, the water went up another 1,000 amis, and it went up Chamesh Alvei Karmidi, 15,000 amis altogether, for Oikmei, and the water level then stopped, the Alfe Gamidi, 1,000 Amis down below. And that's the reason why he got its name Shemala, is because David HaMelech was able to go and be Mal of the waters, 15,000 Amis by the 15 Kapitlach Tilim. Omer Ula, Shema Minev, from this we see that Simcha Di'ara Alfe Gamidi, that the level of the soil that is immediately above the subterranean Mayonois, all of those subterranean waters, that the thickness and the height is 1,000 Amis. We see that sometimes a person digs and he only goes down 5 feet or 10 feet and he finds an unknown well or a spring or a stream. You're telling me it's 1,000 amis down below? We had the pros, I think that's Euphrates if I'm not mistaken. If it's not, I'm sure somebody will correct me. But this is one of those rivers where Rashi says where the water level was much higher than everywhere else. All the other subterranean waters were 1,000 amis below. But Sulma de Pras, so it's much higher. The word Sulma, of course, means ladders, and apparently the water level of Pras itself wasn't exactly level. It were kind of in layers or levels. Therefore, that's how apparently it got its name, Sulma de Pras. And this Sulma de Pras is not only in Eretz Yisrael, but Rashi says it extends further north to Bavel, and presumably other places in the world, or maybe there are similar rivers like the Pras. So therefore, even though the main rivers are 1,000 amis down, but you do have a number of exceptions to the rule, which are higher up, and they supply the water if you are digging and you hit water before you get to 1,000 amas. And with this, we've concluded the discussion about the 15 malos, and we go back to our Mishnah. And the Mishnah said that they started the procession when the Kriyas HaGever, either Gvini Kruz, or the rooster called out, no, the boy said, it's time to go now to do the Nisach HaMayim, to draw the water from the Meishi Loyach. So it says that they started off from the highest 15th step, and they blew the shofar, and then the Mishnah says that when they got to the 10th step, then they blew again, Toku Ve'riva, Toku again, Terat. And you remember when we learned the Mishnah, Rashi told us already then, the question is, what do we mean by the 10th step? After all, the 15 steps altogether, and you're walking downwards. Does it mean when they reached the 5th step, which is 10 from the ground? Or does it mean that they went 10 steps, which was 5 steps from the ground? And that's the Gemara, Shaila Boy Rabbi Yirmiyah. This is the famous Rabbi Yirmiyah that asked these types of questions to Mesameach, the Yidin, that they shouldn't be depressed. They should be ever so Levitic, especially when we're talking about the Simchas Beit HaSheva. So Rabbi Yirmiyah asked, the Mala Asiris the Nochis Chamisha V'koi Asara. When we say in the Mishnah the 10th step, does that mean that they went down 5 steps and now they are at the 10th step level starting from the ground? Or even with the Nochis Asara, they mean went down 10 steps V'koi HaChamisha and they hit the 5th step from the ground. But tomorrow, Teiku, Tijbi Yataris, we're going to have to wait on Leon Avi to go and tell us what the story was. So this is a continuation of the Mishnah, that when they finally got to the front of the Ezras Noshim, and now they would turn towards the Kedma, and they said, they quoted this pasuk, that in earlier generations, the ponim, the faces of the people were towards the Mizrach. And the pasuk continues on to Achireim El Heichal Hashem. We have number one over here. Vayobe Oisi Al Chatzar Beis Hashem Atanimis Vini Pesach Heichal Hashem Vini Ulam Vini Mizbeach Chamisha Ish Achireim El Heichal Hashem Ufneim Kedma. So it says that the Peinema, their faces were facing towards the east, and Achireim, their backs were Heichal Hashem, which was of course in the west. And the Aimim Mishtach Avisem Kedma LaShemesh, and they were bowing down to the Shemesh, to the sun. So they were sun worshippers, which of course in itself is a form of Avodah Zarah, which in itself of course is a terrible, terrible Avera. But it was much, much worse than that. And the Gemara says, Kufneim Kedma, since the Pasuk tells us that they were turning towards the east, towards the sun, to worship the sun, any idea, of course, by definition, Shachareim Lehechel Hashem, everybody has a front and a back, so if their front is towards the east, the back is towards the west. And the Heichal and the Kodesh Kodashim is all towards the west. So Freyti Mois, what does the Pasuk have to tell us? Achareim Heichal Hashem. El Matam Le Machareim Heichal Hashem. Allah made us coming to tell you something terrible. Show you Poyrin Atzman. Poyrin Atzman means they would go and pull down their pants to reveal their backsides. Umatriz and Kalapi Mata, and then they started pouring out from their backsides Kalapi Mata. This is the time of the Beis Hamikdash. And therefore, these people. Probably by his Rishon. I don't think he's
Kanafis. This is
Chesko. By his Rishon, correct?
Wow.
So, unfortunately, they were sinners and Sotoynish. Doesn't mean that the masses did it, but obviously there were some people who did it. And this was a terrible, terrible Aveira. By the way, those that worshipped the Baal Pa'or, that's the way they worshipped it. By the word Pa'or, is also the Pa'or. Yeah, they probably have.
Anybody who's ever done a shikutz in Eretz Yisrael, now in Yerushalayim, if you have a from Kabbalan, and you make when you design your bathroom, they also tell you not to
do in that direction.
Yeah.
Beautiful. So finally, it said at the end of the Mishnah that when they were finally finished with this whole procession, the Yehuda Oymed, they said, "How Yishoyin Va'Oymed," they said, "Anulika," as opposed to earlier generation which unfortunately sinned, we are dedicated to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Anulika, we are to Hashem. Anulika Einenu, and our eyes are to Hashem. And the Gemara holds, or at least asks, isn't this problematic? Pray tomorrow. Any, how can they do this? Kilo Omer Moidim Moidim. The Gemara, the Mishnah, Masechtas Brachos tells you that if a person repeats Moidim twice, or if he repeats Shema twice, the Shaila, when it means just the word of the whole pasuk, that in itself could be blasphemous because it looks like Mechzi Kishtei Rishuyos. Why is he repeating himself? Just say Moidim once. By saying Moidim twice, Shema twice, sounds like they're two different gods that he is worshipping and thanking, etc. So here too, by saying Onu Lekol Lekoyin Eger, the Gemara considers this also to be just repetitious, even though it's not mamish repetitious, but it's kemat. So Tumayel El Yerayt, El Hachi Amri, Heima Mishtachlam Keima, they would go and bow down, and they would say, V'onu Leko. Now in our Gemara it says Moidim, and on the side it says a little bit slightly different, Loshin, Mishtachlim, it says here in the Bach on the right hand side, V'onu Leko Mishtachlim, we are now bowing down to Kadosh Baruch Hu, V'einenu Leko Miyachlis, and our eyes are watching with great expectation towards the Kadosh Baruch Hu that he should go and bring Refuahs and Yeshuahs and good things. So by splitting it up into two segments, and having the first one saying, we are now bowing down to the Almighty God, and then afterwards saying, and now we are uplifting our eyes to Hashem, that he's going to bring the Yeshua. So these are two different concepts, two different statements, and therefore it's no longer a repetitious Moidim, Moidim, Shema, Shema. Zokta Mishnah. Since we said in our previous Mishnah that as a result of the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, as they were proceeding in the morning towards the Meishiloyach, that they blew the shofar a number of times, so now our Mishnah is going to tell us what the minimum and the maximum number of times that they would go and blow. And I keep on using the term shofar, but really it's chatzoy tzris. However, the Mefarshim say that at the time that they were blowing the chatzoy tzris, they also blew the shofar. And in fact, we say this in the tefillah on Rosh Hashanah, b'chatzoy tzris v'kol shofar horiyu l'fnei ha-melech Hashem. So therefore, the chatzoy tzris were accompanied by the shofars, but the main focus is on the chatzoy tzris, on the trumpet. And with the trumpets, they also blew tarat, like we blow our shofar. Zok the Mishnah, in poysim yesrim viachas tekiyos b'migdosh, the minimum were 21. When we say tekiyos, it's not only tekiyos, it means tekiyos, truos tekiyos, it means shofar blowings. There were a minimum of 21 notes, if you will. They might see it on the bar mishmoina, and the maximum was 48. How do you get to 21 and 48? Says he what? Says the Mishnah. On a daily basis throughout the year, there were 21 the mikdash in the Beis Mikdash. Sholesh v'psicha shorim, as they opened up the shorim in the morning, they blew the trumpets. Maybe that was the signal to the shoarim to open up the doors. So they would go and blow three at that time. And the teishul tomid shel shachar, at the time that they brought the tomid shel shachar, and at the time the teishul tomid shel ben arboim, during that time. Rashi explains when the Leviim would be saying their share, like we said this morning, this is what the share that the Leviim would say in the Beis HaMikdash. So of course every day they said the different share shel yoyim, and the share that they said, they split it up into three, Rashi calls them three prakim, three segments. Let's say if there were nine psukim, three, three, and three. And each time they finished the first three, then they would go and blow the shofar at that time, and then everybody would bow down at that time. So therefore, every time they recited the Shir Shel Yoyim, since they split it up into three segments, and each time they blew Tarat, so three times three is nine. If you look at the Rashi here in the Mishnah, you see where Rashi begins, Masnisen, Mi'es V'achas Tekiyos, Bechol Yoyim, it's about three lines lower than where we are in the more badness, about where we are in the Mishnah. Rashi says the beginning of the Mishnah. That's three together, tarat. Tkiya, trua tkiya. Shalosh psicha sharim shari azar. They opened up the azar every day. While they're pouring the nisach hayayin every day throughout the year, halavim oimim b'shir, they would go and say the shir shal yoyim that we say every morning. Ushloish brakim hayu b'shir, and they would split up into three segments. Shoyim afsikim boy, that they split it up. B'toikin hakehana b'chatzoytzrois, the kahana would then go and blow the chatzoytzrois at the conclusion of each segment, and they did a tarat. Umishtachim om, and then everybody would bow down. Kivnam b'sachas tamid, he gil the perik when they hit that end of the segment. Taku, they blew. Hishtach v'olam, al kol perek, tkiya, v'al kol tkiya hishtach v'oya, v'al kol tkiya hoise tru, am v'emtum pshutu l'fenei l'acharel. So therefore, since they did this three times during the Shir Shal Yayim in the morning, and they did it again three such times in the afternoon by the Tomei Shul Ben Avoyim, each time was three times three is nine. So we had three at the Psicha Sha'arim at the very beginning of the morning. And then we had nine in the morning Tomei Shul Shachar. And then nine Tomei Shul Ben Avoyim. So 3 plus 9 plus 9, right? 9 and 9 is 18, plus another 3 gets you 21. So that was the minimum every day of the week.
These were the mamados,
the mamados were typically set outside the Beis Hamikdash by the people that did not come.
Yeah, they came.
They came together in their local shuls, in their communities, and they would fast those days, and they would go and say mamados.
Didn't they stand up
in the Beis Hamikdash also go mamados?
There were people standing. The Morim Masechtas Tanis, which we'll get to that in another couple of Masechtas, says that just like the Kehanim had their Mishmarais, the Yisraelim had their Ma'amadais.
Yes.
And then the Ma'amadais were divided up into two categories. Those that went up to Yerushalayim to stand there at the time the Kabbanis were brought, they stood in Ezra Yisrael, and they were saluting and looking.
These are the ones who were Mishtach of it.
They were, exactly. As well as any visitors, people that brought, you know, Nedarim and Nedavim, Zekar and Chatzis, anybody that came in, everybody was
there so early.
Well, you know, on a busy day, would come early. And whatever. Anyway, so they would be Mishtachle, and those were the people involved. And then it says that those that did not come up to Yerushalayim would gather locally in their own communities, and they would fast, and they would say special tzilas. But which we'll get to that in Masechtas Tanis in the not too distant future. But getting back to our mission now, so we had now the 3 plus the 9 plus the 9, 21 minimum. And in those days that there was a carbon musaf, another 9, where they would also have a shear at the time of the musaf. I don't know if it's the same shear or a special shear shal musaf, but they had another shear. And again, the 9, 3 segments, the 9th kiya, same thing as before. Ube Erev Shabbos, if it was also a Friday, or if it was a Friday, Hoyim Musif, and they had another 6. What were the extra sheish? Shosh Lahavdos Omni Malacha, sometime before Shkia time, twice, a half an hour before, an hour before, they would go and blow as the signal of Oisai, put away all the things in the fields, close up your offices, close up your briefcases, get home quickly, because it's now time, get ready for Shabbos. This was already the final signal shortly before Shkia, twice, a minute before, 2 minutes before, 5 minutes before, whatever, to tell everybody, now is the real McCoy. Until now, that was kind of
the two alarms in Brooklyn.
Two sirens. You have this now today in several communities in Eretz Yisrael. You have Yerushalayim and other cities, and even today in the parts of Brooklyn, you also have such a siren, that such an alarm that goes off twice, 20 minutes before, and then 5 minutes before, something like that. Anyway, so that's the same type of thing in the Beis English. So you had yet another 6. So now Erev Shabbos of Toicha Chag. So now we didn't cheshbon the 48. So the Gemara tells us now how you can get the 48 altogether. Erev Shabbos and Toicha Chag. If you have an Erev Shabbos in the middle of Yom Tov, in other words, middle of Chavais Chol HaMoed, Ho Yishom Arbon Mishmoed, then you had 48 altogether. We start off the same way. Shalosh Psicha Sha'arim, 3 in the morning. Shalosh L'Shar HaElyoin, V'Shalosh L'Shar HaTachtoin, V'Shalosh L'Miloi HaMayim. We're adding on a special 9. 3 when we're standing up there in the Shara Elyoin, after the Kreis HaGever, and he said, okay, Rabbeisai, now it's time to do the drawing of the water from the Meshivayach. So you had 3 up all the way on top of the Shara Elyoin. Show the Shara Shachta, when they got all the way down below, they blew another Tarat. Show the Mina Moim, as they got closer to the Nisach, to the Meshivayach, they did another 3. So you had 9 altogether, and the Gemara is going to ask him, Yetushim, tomorrow, hey, you left out 3. Which 3? When they were on that Malo Asiris, on that 10th step, which I don't know whether it's the 10th step or the 5th step, but there was also Tarat. What happened to that? How do I know the Gemara is going to ask it? Rashi tells us, I mentioned the Gemara is going to ask, what about those additional 3? But anyway, in the meantime, we had now 3 of the Psicha Sha'arim, like always, and the additional 9. 3 plus 3 plus 3 is another 9. 9 plus the 3, we get to 12. V'sholosh al gabi mizbeach, 3 by the mizbeach. Now this is not talking about the Nisach HaMayim. This sholosh al gabi mizbeach, says Rashi, is talking about, don't forget, it's Sukkot. Every one of the 7 days they had the Zekifas Hu'ah Rava, they had those Aravas. We didn't say in the Torah about those Aravas. Achloikis Abishol and Nemechunyir Korten. Whether it was, right, according to Abishol is Ari Nachal, according to Rabbi Yochanan and name of someone else, and Nemechunyir Shkorten, they had three were Halach Lamoish Visinai, Esen the Tiois, Arava, and Nisachamai. So on that Arava, they also had a blowing of Shofar. We had that in the Mishnah before. There was a Tarat at the time of the Arava, so we have now another three. Why doesn't the Gemara talk about the three by the Nisach HaMayim? Because it does. The Teshul Tomei Shul Shachar. Remember Rashi said the Tomei Shul Shachar, when did they blow? At the time of the Nisuch, that's when they started blowing. Where did we have this Rashi? We had this Rashi before, at the time of the Nisuch, that was when they were doing the Shir. Right? They did the Shir and the Nisuch all simultaneously at the same time. And that's why, that's when looking at the Rashi and the Mishnah, Teishul Atomid Shul Shachar, Kishol Yemenaschem and Nischei Hatomid. What are the Nischei Hatomid? That's the Nisach Hayayin and the Nisach Hamayin during Yontif. Throughout the year, every day it's Nisach Hayayin. But during Sukkot, during the Nisach Hamayin, and they were both done simultaneously, right? They both had to end off the same time. That's why one was thicker, one was thinner, as you will recall. Anyway, so therefore, that is already included in the Teisha of the Tomei Shul Shachar. So that's why it's not mentioned again. But the Shoshan Gam Mizbech is referring to the Aravos. So how many do we have so far? We have three for Psicha Sharim, nine for the Mili Hamayim, Elyoin, Tachtoin, Mili Hamayim is another nine, is 12. Sholish Al Gam Mizbeach for the Arava, now we're up to 15. Teish L'Tomit Shul Shachar, L'Teish L'Tomit Shul Ben Arboim, we're adding another 18 to the 15, that gets us to 33. Teish L'Musafim for the Musaf, that gets us to 42. And if it was Erev Shabbos, the Toyich HaChag, we have to have six more. Like we said before, the two sirens, the two alarms, another two Torahs. So we had 48 altogether. Fine.
Aside from the Malas.
Aside the Malas Sidus, I'm going to talk about the Gemara tomorrow, hopefully. Vos Epis, why didn't they blow those? Why were those not included? Zokti Mark. Ma'asita like Rabbi Yehuda l'chara Mishnah doesn't shtim Rabbi Yehuda d'sanya. Rabbi Yehuda oimer ha-poiches l'yivchais mi-sheva. The minimum was 7. V'amois l'yoysal shesh esrei. And the maximum was 16. So our Mishnah says 21 to 48, and Rabbi Yehuda says 7 to 16. Zokti Yomara, really there's no machlekes. V'maikam ifligi. Rabbi Yehuda sabba t'kia trua t'kia achasi. Rabbanan sabri t'kia l'chud u'trua l'chud. Really, they're both saying the same thing, but they're saying it in different terminology. When Rabbi Yehuda says 7, he really means 21, because 7 means 7 sets of tarats. One tarat, another tarat, 7 times 3 is 21 altogether. That's what the Mishnah says. And the Hoysof, right. And the same thing when it comes Sheish Esrei, 16 sets, 16 times 3, 16 tarats, 16 times 3 gives you 48. Now, is he more just playing with numbers over here? 721, and this is 1648. No, each one is trying to tell us a halacha, as we'll see in the Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda sabit kiyah tru atkiyah as achasi. Rabbi Yehuda sabit kiyah lechud tru lechud. My term is Rabbi Yehuda. Why does Rabbi Yehuda consider them to be like one? Amakrets in the pasuk uskatem trua. You're supposed to blow the trua, but the Torah doesn't call it usiratem trua. It says uskatem trua. So the blowing of the trua itself is called a tekiyah. So we see that the tekiyah and the trua are one package deal. You're blowing the tekiyah and you're blowing the trua, and the trua itself is a form of tekiyah, and that's why I call it skatim. So therefore, tekiyah, trua, tekiyah is one set. But Rabbanan ha'u l'pshulu l'fnei l'achreu diyasa. No, Rabbanan say that that's just telling you how it was arranged. Don't think that they did trua, tekiyah, tekiyah, or tekiyah, tekiyah, trua, but rather to tell you uskatim, tekiyah comes first, trua comes second, and tekiyah comes third. What's the makoyer of the Rabbanan? If you're not doing an avoider in the Beis Hamikdash, but what you're doing is you're signaling that everybody should get together for a major assembly, to get the assembly together, then you only do a tekiyah and you don't do a trua. Zog me Rabban, Yisrael Kedai, Tatkir Tshuva Achas. He was telling me it's always a set, it's a package deal. Sorry, Bazoi. Am Rahman, a palga, the mitzvah, Ovid, a palga, lay Ovid. Torah says when you're collecting the oilim together, only do half a mitzvah, only do the Tkiah, not the Tshuva. Is the Charai to us that Tkiah is one note, true is another note, and Tkiah is another note. It's not a package. Each one is separate and independent on its own. When you're doing an avodah like on Rosh Hashanah, or you're doing on any of these tekiyas like the Mishnah is telling us about, then it's a package deal. Here we're talking about summoning the oilam to get together for major assembly. This is not a religious ceremony or some sort of mitzvah. This is just, you know, instead of going and putting on the alarms, we go and blow the chatzoitzes to get everybody together. Rabbanan Simhu, it's Taki, you're right, it's for an alarm, it's a signal. Rabbanan Shavya Mitzvah, because Baruch Hu said, I'm going to imbue this signal with a mitzvah, that the people that are going to go and blow the chatzoitzers to summon the call to get together, this is a mitzvah. And how do you accomplish this mitzvah? By blowing the chatzoitzers, and only do one tekiah, not do a truah. So you see, in mitzvah itself, the Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't split up the mitzvah, it's a full mitzvah just doing a tekiah. So Tamar, Kiman Azahad Umr of Kahana, Ain Bait Kil the true of Aloy Klom. Who's the man the Yom that says that when you're blowing the Mashal, the Shofar on Rosh Hashanah or any of the other times that you're blowing, that don't stop in between the key and through it, should go straight to the key through, Rashi says the maximum is Kedei Neshima, to be able to breathe, but don't go and take a 5 minute coffee break between the Tki and the Trua of the club. It should go instantaneous, simultaneous, one after the other, concurrent. Kiman Kerbiyuda, because Kerbiyuda says it's a package deal. Because according to Rabbanan, that they're separate mitzvahs, you could theoretically take a breather in between one and the other. So the more Pshita, the Chayyar, based on the way we explained it, that's a double portion. I mean, this is a Tarat. According to Kerbiyuda, it's one set, do it one right after the other. Well, according to the Rabbanan, you could split it up. Take a break, say Avart, say Dirias Arulis, and do a true, and then another. So I was looking more Pshita, Mishnaitza. The Dwamad, the same Mafil Rabbanan, that really this. Brisa, when it says ain't be tekiyah l'tru v'lay klum, it's Rav Kahana's memory. Ain't be tekiyah l'tru v'lay klum. I would think after the Kabbat, v'la'afukim in Rabbi Yochanan v'yomar shomateishu tekiyah is beteishu shoyis v'yom yotzah. Rabbi Yochanan is really at the other extreme, and he says, since he's a mitzvah hearing three tarats all together on Rosh Hashanah min haTorah, yes, that has grown since then into 100 kiyas because of all the sfeikas that we have. Is it a shvarim? Is it a trua? Is it both? So we have tashrat, and then we have the me'umid and the me'yushiv, and then we also mayor mashlim to make a 100 out of it. Anyway, since you mara ma'ad esem afilik rabbanim la'fukim Rabbi Yochanan the omer shoma teisha tkiyas b'teisha shoyas b'yam yatsa, says Rabbi Yochanan to be yoitza the mitzvah of the nine tkiyas Rosh Hashanah, you could theoretically have them in hour intervals. The first one at 8 o'clock in the morning, the next one at 9, and then at 10, and then 11, and then 12. Spread it out! Spread the wealth of these three tarats the whole day. So that's what I would bafukim Rav Yechon. So therefore, when Rav Kahana said, Ein Beit Kiel, the true of Leklom, he doesn't just mean Rav Yehuda. He means the Rabbanan as well. And we mean lafukim and Rav Yechon that said, split it out. No, no, don't split it up over the whole day. Do it one after the other. Kamash Mulan, that's why he's telling you, no, he's telling us Taka Rabbi Yehuda and not the Rabbanan. Maybe he's Taka Rav Kahana holds like the Rabbanan, that you could have at least some break in between, not an hour's break, but one minute break, a half a minute break in between the Trua and the Kia and the Trua and the next Kia. Okay, my beloved club, you see that Rav Kahana emphasized and dramatized the fact that there shouldn't be any breaks in between, because he said ein bein tekiyah trua v'lo klum. He could have simply said ein bein tekiyah trua, don't take any breaks between tekiyah v'lo klum, means and nothing, zero, rian, goonish,
zero break.
Why? Because he holds like Rabbi Yehuda, nada, right? He holds like Rabbi Yehuda, and he does not hold like the Rabbanon. So therefore, bottom line is, when we ask, we have a stira, and the Mishnah is like Rabbi Yehuda, our Mishnah holds 48, and he holds that they're only 16. That's really both one and the same. They both mean Tarats. Only question is, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's a package. And according to Rabbanon, no, each one is a Choshiva note on its own. Each one is noteworthy. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Yehuda.